se mare, mamma mia, mi maradare. Figlio mio, cutterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te non ne avessi a ulo, ide va, ide viene sempre a calare dal manedene. Se ci picchia avanti, se è a calare, figlio mio.
Oh mamma, oh mamma, zoom zoom bacala. Hey, this is Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And again, another week in the wild west. Whew. Never saw anything like this one before in my life. From coast to coast, no living American has ever witnessed anything like it. The United States is a nation divided in ways and on issues that I would say are even broader than the civil rights movements. Broader than the massive Vietnam War protests and Richard Nixon's impeachment of decades past. This is probably the most divided nation, I would suggest, and again, I wasn't around back then, in the Civil War. Think about it. Since January 20th, when Donald Trump was inaugurated President of the United States of America, one protest march after another, championing causes across the board that have become common occurrences, impeachment movements, keep gaining support. Opposition forces, new ones created. And battles between the White House and the media, it's almost become a daily affair. How dumb this Trump administration is to keep this going. Putting their little people up to fight with these little clowns, these little prostitutes. I don't know who's running the show over there, but, well, I guess Trump is. You listen to his press conferences, he keeps talking about how much TV he watches. I can't tune in the damn thing. What do I want to hear what, you know, Mouse Blitzer has to say? Or any of the rest of them. But they do. So there's much more to this. All things are connected, like the blood which unites us all, Chief Seattle allegedly said. It's a global nomic system, as we say. All things are connected. So should these animosities continue to escalate between Donald Trump lovers and Donald Trump haters, that has families, friends, and colleagues fighting among each other? And again, I hear people talking about this virtually, getting in arguments. But more than just personal relationships are going to be destroyed. So too, on a whole nother level, are the financial markets, the equity markets, real estate markets, the retail sector. This is the world's largest economy. What happens here reverberates worldwide. It's globalnomic. All things are connected. The economy does not live or grow in a vacuum. So So while the equity markets right now are definitely gaining strength, as we said before, you know, we predicted that Trump would be the wild card winner of the presidential reality show. It's in our Trends Journal. Anybody could read it. Back in May of 2016, we also said that he was the wild card. And it goes back to the economy. It's a wild card economy. And the wild card cat like Trump could poof, derail it in a second with his statements. But even so, we're looking at a spike since Election Day in the economy no one's ever seen before. These are the facts. Matter of fact, from Election Day to New Year's Day, the spike in the stock market was the sharpest since 1952. When Dwight D. Eisenhower got elected. And this rally is really big. I mean, it's bigger than, in many ways, it may be bigger than the Ronald Reagan-like rally that produced a skyrocketing stock market, but that crashed. And there's going to be a crash. This market's going to come down. But I have to say, we don't, again, absent the wild card, even when it goes down, we don't see it going out. And that's a 180 that we've done. We thought this thing was going to unravel and go down big time under if Clinton got elected. But just the opposite has happened with Trump there. Again, it's not whether you like him or dislike him. I can never like this guy. It's what is. You go to a doctor, you get a diagnosis. A diagnosis is a diagnosis is a diagnosis. It's not whether you like the doctor, dislike the doctor, or the doctor dislikes or likes you. You look at the facts and you call them what they are. And the facts are very simple here. And that's why the markets are going up. Why are they going up? Very simple. Look what Trump is promising. It's going to deregulate. That's right. Deregulate anything that's going to hurt the financial sector and the industries that I like. We're going to deregulate so they can make more dough. All right, that pushes the stock values up. I'm going to cut taxes dramatically so them corporations can make more money. That's going to drive stock prices up. It's not whether you like it or dislike it. It's a fact, Jack. I'm going to impose tariffs on them imports coming in. And by doing that, I'm going to create more jobs in America. Like it, dislike it. That's what's going on. And I'm going to invest in rebuilding the nation's rotted infrastructure. I'm going to create jobs. That's what's driving the markets up. Will this come to fruition? I don't know. Time will tell. But right now, the market timing has whacked out a lot of the biggest players out there that were shorting this market. And here we are. He gets elected in November, December, January, February. And the market spike continues, up 10% this year. Will there be a correction? Yes, there will. And how about gold? Well, you know how I feel about gold. Safe haven asset. We got a wild card cat that's president of the United States. This thing could go anyplace. Take a look at what's going on over there in France with Marine Le Pen's party gaining traction. If she wins, she's pulling out of the euro and out of the eurozone. Or European Union, I should say. What does that mean? Well, if I pull out of the euro, I'm going to bring back the French franc. And when I bring back the French franc, I'm going to pay off that debt that we owe on with francs. Oh, you mean you're going to demonetize? You're going to pay me back with cheaper money. I'm going to get shafted. You got it. And that's going to destabilize the global equity markets if that happens. Look what's going on in Italy with the Five Star Movement. Take a trip over to the Netherlands with Geert Wilders' party. One after another. Goes back to gold. Why would I want gold? It's a safe haven asset, and I do not give financial advice with trend forecasters. And if you'd like to call, have any questions, feel free to do so at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. So that's where we're going. It's wild times out there. But again, should these problems continue, where people are going to keep fighting what's going on here, it's going to affect things greatly. You can't have all this discord and expect positive results. And again, think about it. Take it in your own life. If every day's a hassle, every day, all right, you're in a relationship, okay? Transgender, straight, whatever you want it to be. Bisexual, transsexual, who cares? I don't care. You're in this relationship and every day is a fight. What are you going to create in your own lives? At work, cooking, anything you're doing, what is going to become the outcome of living in a life of constant turmoil? You're going to create any beauty and joy? Of course not. Same thing with the United States of America. Do you think any beauty and joy and true creativity is going to arise at a national level with such national discord? Nope. And all of these marches, all of these protests, the whole wide range of them. What are they going to prove? They're solidifying against nothing. All they're doing is creating discourse with more plans and more action plans for it. So first we had a day without immigrants recently, right? More than 100 general strikes sprouted up across the nation to stand up for America's democratic principles. Totally ineffective. A world without immigrants, a day without immigrants. You go on a Facebook page, Strike for Democracy calls for day of mass strikes against ICE raids, travel bans, Trump's mobilization on the border wall, as well as the rights for workers, women, people of color, LGBTQ, plus community and our environment. Okay, get it straight. You need to focus on one thing to make it happen. All of this stuff is going in and going out with no direction. They call for participants to skip work and school. Hey, man, I would have skipped school anytime. Just give me a reason. I hated school. Woo! And refraining to spend money. Totally ineffective. Totally ineffective. It's masturbation in public. It's all this is. You're accomplishing nothing other than discord. Have a focus. You don't like Trump? Fine. I didn't like Obama. I don't like Trump. Couldn't stand Clinton. Hatred is probably a good word for George Bush, because that's how I felt about him, for getting us into the Iraq War and lying us into it, the Afghan War and others, war on terror. And I felt the same about Obama with his war in Libya and Syria, providing all those armaments more than any other president to the Saudis to kill innocent Yemenis that all you little liberals don't want to talk about. But my protest was and is OccupyPeace.us, that Gary Null so generously and bravely, he's a brave man, no question about that, supported and helped us launch. A movement with a focus. A movement with an action plan. Rather than all of these loudmouths like Mankell Moore with plans about just nothing but fighting and BS with no solutions in sight. OccupyPeace.us, go to the website, there's the action plan. Bring home the troops, no foreign entanglements. Ah, no foreign entanglements. We got one coming up. And Trump is pumping it up. A bigger one. Watch out for the Iran war. In a country near you, sparked by Israel as we see it. America does not go abroad. No. She is the well-wisher. Yep. Freedom and independence, the champion and vindicator. No foreign entanglements. America does not go abroad. To fight these monsters. It was John Quincy Adams, July 4th, 1821, talking about that. Of course, George Washington's farewell address, no foreign entanglements. Eisenhower's farewell address, warning us of the military-industrial complex, robbing the nation of the genius of scientists, sweat of the laborers, and future of the children. So we have a peace plan. Rather than just all of this fighting for nothing. Going nowhere quick. Nowhere quick. The war we see happening is going to be between Israel and Iran. I've been saying this week after week, and I'm not letting up on it. And the Trump administration and Netanyahu and Israel are the ones provoking it. They keep coming out with that two-bit line that our defense secretary, James Mad Dog Mattis, what adult would call himself Mad Dog? This is the guy, by the way, when in Iraq was instrumental in the destruction and slaughter in Mosul after some defense contractors that are called mercenaries in the old days got killed. Yeah, that James Mad Dog Mattis, our defense secretary, throws out the two-bit line that, quote, the single biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world is Iran. No, Mad Dog. The biggest single state sponsor of terrorism in the world is the United States of America. That launched the Afghan war against the Taliban, who did nothing to us. Nor did the Afghan people. Oh, yeah, but you believe little Georgie Bush, the dunce in chief. They got a man by Osama bin Laden that's been living there. And we got to attack that country and get him and bring him back and bring him to justice. They use that word, by the way, bring him to justice. Obama does, Clinton does, they all do. Bring people to justice means killing them when you see them. That's their demented word for justice. And here we are in the longest war in Afghanistan in American history and achieving nothing, and now they're bringing in more troops. That the liar-in-chief Obama said that would end. Liberals, cowardly little liberals. The Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner Obama, that brought in 30,000 more troops right after he got elected. The world's biggest state sponsor of terrorism is the United States, the Iraq War. How about the Libyan War, that America sponsored those terrorists to overthrow Gaddafi? Those are facts. And those same terrorists that America sponsored, you remember? Don't you remember? The rebels with a cause, the moderate rebels who we never saw one photo of. America, the sponsor of terrorists to overthrow the Assad government in Syria. Yemen, Somalia, Sudan. The seven countries where Muslims resided or reside that Trump wants to put the ban on. Five of those countries Obama bombed. Going back to Iran, that line, the single biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world, is exactly repeated by Trump, by little Paulie Ryan, a.k.a. Eddie Munster. I think that was his previous role before he played his other phony little role, Speaker of the House. Speaker of the House of Clowns. They repeat the exact same line. Go to Drudge Report right now. Remember, I've been talking about this on Trends This Week, now going on 3 weeks. Here's the headline. Iran ready to give U.S. slap in face. Reuters. The United States should expect a strong slap in the face if it underestimates Iran's defensive capabilities. The commander of the elite Revolutionary Guards said on Wednesday, as Tehran concluded war games. Nothing like a war game. Since taking office last month, U.S. President Donald Trump has pledged to get tough with Iran, warning the Islamic public after its ballistic missile test on January 29th that was playing with fire. And all U.S. options were on the table. What are U.S. options on the table? More war? Old wars weren't enough. You need some new ones. The U.S. military. I know everybody loves a guy in uniform or a woman. Has not won a war since World War II. And that's a fact. Quote, the enemy should not be mistaken in its assessment, and it will receive a strong slap in the face if it does make such a mistake, said Iran's General Mohammad Pakpour. On Wednesday, the Revolutionary Guards concluded 3 days of exercises with rockets, artillery, tanks, and helicopters, weeks after Trump warned that he had put Tehran on notice over their missile launch. But nobody ever warns Israel, the nuclear power with over 400 nuclear warheads, not a signatory of the atomic agreements. But Iran tests a missile that was not in violation of any United Nations or nuclear agreement, and all options are on the table. Yep. Article continues, as tensions also mounted with Israel, military analysts said that Iran-allied Hezbollah could use Iranian-made Fatah 110 missiles to attack the Israeli nuclear reactor at Dimona from inside Lebanon. Oh, Hezbollah, that terrorist group. Well, that's what the United States and its coalition of the killing call them. But most nations do not. Because Hezbollah from Lebanon was created after Israel invaded Lebanon and occupied it. But those are only details. We have to forget those. I wonder if God gave him that land too. I mean, I think it was in the Bible, chapter 7, paragraph 3, article 4. And God said, so, you can see where this is heating up. We believe, earlier this week, I should say, Israel also announced that they're knocking down displacing another 500 Palestinians by putting a settlers-only 11-kilometer road in. Settlers-only road, knocking down Palestinian homes, displacing over 500 people, doesn't make the news in the prostitute media of America. And I'm thinking to myself, a settlers-only road. Boy, like a whites-only road in Africa, huh? Israel, the apartheid state that Obama gave us $38 billion of our dough over 10 years to keep him on the path of destruction. Yep. Iran says its missile program is defensive and not linked to its 2015 nuclear deal with world powers. During the US election, Trump branded the accord, quote, the worst deal ever negotiated. How much of a threat does Iran pose to the United States? ?80% of Americans say it's a threat. Yep. Propaganda's working great. So this way, when the war happens, everybody's all set for it. That's by a Reuters poll. Serious threat. Isn't that wonderful? Peace is the only option out. And we have the plan. It's called Occupy Peace. So let's take a look and see what's going on in the markets right now. Here we go. U.S. Dow's up 13 points. Another all-time high. Another all-time high. You can't ignore this. Again, could it go down? Of course it can. And it will. There'll be a correction. There always is. But we don't see a crash, not at this point. Again, absent a wild card. So we keep seeing the Dow Industrial Average hit all-time highs. There's going to be an interest rate hike at some point. And there should be. These low interest rates are nothing more than a war against savers so that equity markets could rebound after the panic of 08, because it allowed these big companies to borrow money for nothing and buy back their stock. That drove the market up and merger and acquisition activity. But as the interest rates go up, you're going to start seeing mortgage applications go down. And debt level problems build. So those are the realities of the fact. So you're going to start seeing more of that happening. And a lot of this mortgage application had a lot of it to do with refinancing because of all of them low interest rates. So there's a double-edged sword here. And we're looking at markets where valuations don't matter anymore. And they're trading at historical peaks. But of course they do matter. And that's what's going to happen when there's going to be a correction. You can't deny the facts of where stocks are trading. And they're trading at historical peaks. So, when this correction happens, it'll bring the valuations back down to where they should be. And doesn't mean that the country will go into a recession. Again, we see the opposite happening. It's very important to note that under the Obama administration, the recovery after the recession was the worst recovery since the end of World War II. There was really no recovery. It was a cover-up. The recovery happened for the very rich. 95% of the wealth created since 2009 has gone to the 1%. So we see, again, under Trump administration, more prospects for positive economic growth beyond what we have right now. Again, absent the wild card, and we got the wildest of wild cards hanging out in the White House. Never seen a show like this one before. So again, goes back to gold, and we still see gold, as I said, as a safe haven asset, one not to be denied, because there's geopolitical unrest, and we're looking now at more American troops. They're talking about sending into Syria, more troops in Iraq. And more explosive actions resulting from Israel's stealing of more and more land from the Palestinians. And then when the Palestinians fight back, they is called terrorists. And you know the story. It's Palestinian rockets, right? Bottle rockets. Fired into Israel. Killed how many? Since 2000? From 2004 to 2014, 27 Israeli civilians. That's these little bottle rockets, about 20,000 of them shot. But how many Palestinians have been killed by the Israelis in their invasion and bombing of Gaza? Tens of thousands. Tens of thousands of homes destroyed and businesses. But that barely makes the news. So, you know, I get a kick out of Israel. They're always throwing the Bible lines out when it's to their benefit. You know, God was a real estate agent, the Bible was a land deed story. But hey, how about that one, an eye for an eye? How about do unto others as you would have them do unto you? No, we're not going to talk about that. That doesn't make any difference. It's a one-sided story. And that one-sided story is going to now emerge into the Israeli-Iran war. Brought to you again by the United States of America, that's behind this as well. And that's where we're going. More war, unless we stop it. And when you look at the people that Trump is bringing in, there's going to be a terror strike in the United States, false flag or real. That's a possibility, I should say. And when that happens, they're going to turn this into a police state like we've never seen before, and it was bad enough under Obama. Remember that Boston Marathon incident? You forgot that one, huh? When police went door to door and troops all over the streets. No arrest warrants, no warrants. Robbed us of our rights, and nobody complained. It'll be much, much worse under Trump when there's such an attack. And he'll be yelling, "I told you so! I told you so!" Now you listen to me. I'll tell you what to do. So that's where we're going here. More war. There's an article by Yuri Avneri. Who was a member of the Knesset. And he's also the founder of Gush Shalom Peace Movement. And this was in the Jewish Business News. I'm going to read it to you to put things into context here. Last week, I tried to describe the 1948 war, starting from the shooting at a Jewish bus on the morrow of the UN partition resolution. Some readers dispute the timing. They insist that the war started on May 15th, on the morrow of the founding of the State of Israel, when the armies of the neighboring Arab states entered the country. I've seen this many times. Every serious debate about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict raises the question, quote, when did it start? Each side has its own date, providing that the other side started it. The Arabs started it, the Zionists assert. The conflict started with the invasion of the Arab armies, and it has in parentheses, invasion in quotation marks, since they entered the territories allotted by the UN to the Palestinian Arab state, though their declared aim was to crush the new Jewish state right at the beginning. And the parens. The Jews started it, the Arabs assert. They began to drive the Arab population out, leading to the Nagba, N-A-G-B-A, Nagba. NAQBA disaster. The Arabs started it, replied the Zionists. Why did we have to evict the Arab population? It was because you shot at our villages after the UN resolution on November 29th, 1947. The Jews started it, retort the Arabs. It all started with the atrocious resolution. The UN, consisting at that time mainly of Western and communist states, gave a country that did not belong to them to the Jews who did not belong to it. Yes, say the Jews. But it really started with the white paper issued by the British in May 1939, which in effect closed the doors of Palestine to the Jews just when the Nazis were planning the Holocaust. Remember, this is by Yuri Avneri, former member of the Knesset and the founder of Gush Shalom. We had no choice, inject the British. In 1936, the Arabs started a revolt in which Jews and our soldiers were killed all over the country. But why did we have to do so, cried the Arabs? Because masses of German Jews were coming to Palestine after 1933, when Adolf Hitler assumed power in Germany. We had to stop it, even by violent means, to prevent Palestine from turning into a Jewish country. Really, retort the Jews? But you started it long before, 1929, when you organized riots all over the country, killing lots of Jews. We had no choice, assert the Arabs. The British government of Palestine favored the Zionists and allowed them to settle all over. That was our right, say the Jews, enshrined in the mandate conferred by the League of Nations on the British. Who gave the League of Nations the right to confer a mandate on anybody? Asked the Arabs. The land belonged to its inhabitants, almost all of whom were Arabs. That's how it all started. Remember again, I'm reading this, written by Yuri Avneri. But the Arabs attacked the Jews in 1919, showing how much the British were needed. The British had no business being here, answered the Arabs. The whole mess really started in 1917 when the British published the Balfour Declaration, promising the establishment of a Jewish national home in Palestine, which belonged at that time to the Muslim Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman Empire was dying, say the Jews in the Zionist movement, which was founded in 1896, had already proclaimed its right to Palestine. But at the same time, the modern Arab national movement was born, which had an indisputable claim to Palestine and all Arab countries. God had promised, Allah has promised, and so on. Again, this is not me. This is Yuri Avneri writing this. And he says, and I have my own theory about when and how the conflict started. In 2004, Theodor Herzl, the founding father of Zionist movement, died. Herzl did not like Palestine very much and started his ideological quest with the idea of founding a Jewish state, are you ready for this, in Patagonia, an Argentinian territory that had been recently, quote, pacified. Herzl did not like the Turks nor the Arabs, but events convinced him that the Jews would go nowhere but Palestine. In his book, Der Judenstaat, the Bible of Zionism, he declared that all Jews would serve in Palestine as an outpost of Western civilization against the barbarians of Asia, i.e., the Arabs. Why, this guy sounds like a racist to me. Well, no, no. He could say what he wants. A few years after World War I, the Ottoman Empire showed signs of breaking up. A modernizing movement led by army officers assumed power in 1908. They called themselves the Young Turks. Among the restless Arab population, two revolutionary groups emerged. They dared not yet talk about independence, but instead put forward a plan for the decolonization of the Ottoman Empire, giving it various nations some autonomy. A group of Arab members of the Turkish parliament had a brilliant idea. Why not approach Zionists and offer them an alliance against the Turks in the fight for this idea? The Zionist representative in Jerusalem hastened to submit this offer to Max Nordau, the new president of the Zionist organization. Nordau, N-O-R-D-A-U, had inherited Herzl's position after his death, the death of the founder. This was a historic movement. One of the movements when history holds its breath, a totally new vista opened up, an alliance between Arabs and Jews, a joint liberation movement. Nordau, a famous German Jewish intellectual, did not dream of accepting this offer. He must have considered it crazy. The Turks were the masters of the country. They could give Palestine to the Jews. They could be bribed. The Arabs are powerless. They give us nothing. So the moment passed. Nordau mentioned the idea to the Zionist Congress in Hamburg, but nobody took notice. Few people know about this episode. It is described in the authoritative book by the late Haran Cohen. The possibility existed only in theory. History is made by real people whose consciousness is formed by the realities of the time. For Europeans of the early 20th century, the idea of such an alliance with it, the narrative against an imperial power, was close to lunatic. In retrospect, this idea could have changed history. We'd have been born into a different world. In the autumn of 1947, when I was just 24 years old, I published a book called, in Hebrew, War on Peace in the Semitic Region. It was an almost exact repetition of the idea, no doubt, of the Nordau incident, which I knew nothing about at the time. It opened up with words, quote, "When our fathers, the Zionists, decided to set upon a safe haven in this country, they had the choice between two paths. They could appear in West Asia as European conquerors who sees himself as a bridgehead of the white race, a master of the natives, like the Spanish conquistadors and the Anglo-Saxon colonists in America. This is what the Crusaders at the time did to this country. The other path was to see themselves as the Asiatic people returning to its homeland, who sees himself as an heir of the political and cultural tradition of the Semitic race, and is ready to lead the people of the Semitic region in the war of liberation against European exploitation." With the exception of the terminology, which belonged to its time, I subscribe to every word, even today, almost 70 years later. Again, this is by Yuri Avnery. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict began when the first Jewish colonists came to this country in 1882, even before the official founding of the Zionist movement. It began as a clash between two great national movements which were totally ignorant of each other. This ignorance persists in large part to this very day. The past cannot be changed, but perhaps we can learn from it and draw some conclusions. So there we have it. It's a colonization, clear and simple, brand new, barely a century old, with no end in sight other than more war. And the war is on the doorstep. Listen closely to the drums of war that are beating louder with each passing day. Go to Trudge Report. Read the blaring headline. Iran ready to give U.S. slap in the face. Sounds like Iran over here is the instigator, doesn't it? But of course, we'll ignore the past. And Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis and Trump and the talking points in the Republican Party and others that, quote, the single biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world is Iran. That's what's going on. More troops moving into Syria. More American troops moving into Iraq after Obama, the commander-in-chief, promised they'd be out of there and put more in. U.S. troops and tanks moving to the Russian border in Poland. One after another. The drums of war keep beating louder. All you people out there that are pushing off these days without immigrants, LGBTQ, rights of workers and women, people of color, we'll keep protesting, all the little, one cause after another, some small, some large, or occupy peace, because that's what's going to make the difference. We go to war, whew, it's going to be the war to end all wars. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Gerald Celente, Trends This Week. Contact me at trendsresearch.com. If you have any questions or answers. Until then, Chele Luna Metsemada.
Chele Luna Metsemada, mamma mimi mada dada. Figgi mia cutterara, mamma me pensaccia tu. Sitte d'ogna biscia olo, ite va. Viene sempre a calare dal manedene. Se ci picchia quando si è a calare, picchia me. Mamma dear, come over here and see who's looking in my window.